Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. It is Jacob Albracht. It is Paul Savage in for Tommy Kester today. Jad Chambers producing for us. He's got the IHOP hotline brought to you by IHOP and all those new IHOP house faves. All your favorites, just $6 Monday through Friday. And we are looking forward to a big time show today because it was a wild and crazy Monday night. Near perfection if you are a fan of the Chiefs and or the Royals, because you get the Royals evening up the American League Division Series at one game apiece. You get the Chiefs. Let's be honest, you know, it was a 13-point win, but they dominated that game. We'll talk about Monday Night Football. We'll talk about the ALDS. We'll bounce around. We're bringing in our insiders to help us with it all today. We've got Mike Gillespie of Kings of Kaufman. He'll join us bottom of this hour to help with the ALDS, and then Chiefs Radio Network executive producer Dan Israel, our Chiefs insider, will join us at 10 o'clock to also help go through Monday Night Football. What a night. We'll give away some HTO today. We'll get you apprised of the schedule. We've got all kinds of good stuff coming for you. Paul, it's a day to party on a Tuesday here on Sports Daily.
Oh, it was a huge day yesterday. By the way, I'm going to add one little thing. I had a lot of fun yesterday, too, before I got into sports last night. I went to Cheney for the first time. I had been to Cheney as far as the golf course. Remember when Bruce Hurdle had his golf tournament for Sports Daily out at, I think it's Oak. Is it Oak Hill? Something like that. There in
no
Cheney.
Idea.
Yeah, anyway, golf course there. And that's as far into Cheney as I've never been in Cheney. Can you believe that? Lived here all my life. I've never been in Cheney. That's a nice town. I went over and helped coach a Wichita East JV game. And let me tell you, I know we've got a lot of listeners out there because we hear from them all the time, and we've got a lot of listeners in the Cheney area. But that's a nice little city, Jacob. That's a nice little city. And I saw some advertisers that are on our station or have been on our station, and it was really kind of cool. So anyway, I started my evening out coaching some JV football. I haven't done that in years. And I had so much fun with those kids. I got a pair of defensive ends that are about 6'2", freshmen, that are real skinny, who by the time they're seniors could be 6'4", you know, 250, and being recruited by everybody in America. But that's beside the point. But anyway, so I got home last night, and of course, flip on the TV, and I'm torn between all the things going on. My goodness gracious. Let me go to the Royals first with my overall thoughts. And as I watched that game, I thought back to the first game that the Royals should not have lost. We had a bogus call. I think it was in the seventh inning. We have a base that's stolen. We have a call. We have a call safe. Go to the review. Jacob, I don't know. Maybe I'm not seeing things really well. Maybe I'm
yeah,
not.
Yeah, it was hard. It was a tough review. If they had called him out and reviewed it, I think they'd have kept him out. It was just, you know, it was tight.
No, it wasn't.
Royals fans.
There was an inch gap.
Look, I
think gap.
It was not an inch. Yep. I think he was out too. And the problem was you couldn't time up from that angle. You couldn't see when the tag hit the foot, and from the other angle, you couldn't see the gap in the base. I think that was the problem. Is you had those two simultaneous things and no way to see them. It doesn't matter, Paul. They won game two.
Well, you know, but like, it should be 2-0. My point is that I'm watching that game.
It should be 2-0. It would have been a tie game. Who's to say they would have come back to win that game? I mean, look, it was a tough call. But this was the point yesterday. It was a tough call. Royals probably feel like they should have won that game. You took their best to the ropes. And that's why I thought yesterday, Paul, the Royals were in great shape. They got to Gerrit Cole. And Gerrit Cole wasn't going to beat them three times in that series anyway. The Royals were in great shape. It set up. They have their two aces. Now they get to come back home. They didn't worry about it. You know, like it was a tough call. Yeah, but it would have been a tie game. They still had to score a run they didn't get anyway. So what? They lost the first game. And that was the point for me yesterday with the Royals. Mm-hmm. Is who cares? Go back and win the second game. You want to split on the road. That's exactly what they did. Now they come home. They'll get Lugo on the mound here. And then they'll get Reagan's again at some point in the series. But the big thing is they're finally waking up a little bit offensively, Paul. And they're waking up, and we still are not seeing a collective offensive effort from the middle of their lineup. Bobby Witt Jr., who had the clutch hits in the Baltimore series, has not been good in this one. He had an error last night. And they're still tied up at 1-1. Salvador Perez finally unlocked a little bit. If Salvador Perez gets hot, he is the player in the offense that can carry the load. If he gets hot,
oh my goodness,
this is what he does. Yeah. And Vinny Pasquantino looks not quite like the Vinny Pasquantino before injury, but it's still lingering there. I think the Royals are in great shape. I thought they were in fine shape going into game two. And I think they showed that with their effort and their energy last night. Mm-hmm. We'll get to the Royals. Mike Gillespie is going to join us here. The other quick one, and we'll do quick hitters here because we've got insiders to help go through all these. Chiefs Saints, Paul. Look, the Chiefs were dominant in that game. It should have been. I mean, they left at least 9 points on the board with red zone inefficiency, at least, and maybe 12 if you think about the missed field goal. Then you had the non-caught pass in the end zone that turned into an interception. I don't even remember what the other one was. But a lot of points left on the board, but it never felt like the Saints had a chance in that game. You got the same old dominant performance from the defense, and you got an offensive game. And look, I made a lot of money, Paul, on the Chiefs last night because I had an idea of what they might do. They did it. They executed it so well. The only thing that surprised people was the reemergence of Juju Smith-Schuster, honestly, within the game. It's like you could see it happening as it was happening, but the game plan was clear. They're going to run the ball to Kareem Hunt, and they're going to use their tight ends, and that's exactly what they did. Mm-hmm. They threw it all over the place to their tight ends. And then if you're New Orleans and you think, okay, we got to readjust to what Kansas City's doing, mean old Andy Reid comes out in the second half and starts throwing to the receivers. Like, just imagine, that was... Paul, to me, that looked like, and to my untrained eye, as far as watching coaches work, that was as impressive an individual game plan slash play calling I think I've ever seen from Andy Reid last night. He New Orleans did not stand a chance last night defensively against what the Chiefs were doing. And they made the changes within the game, Paul. Like, it was all tight ends in the first half. And then in the second half, they totally flipped it upside down. They're throwing it to Juju. They're throwing it to Worthy. They're throwing it to Hardman. Like, they're using those same tight ends, but they're all blocking. Like, that was a masterclass in coaching. Andy Reid was on fire last night.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of time to throw the football. I mean, there were plays that there was nobody within 3 yards of Mahomes sitting in the pocket. And it felt like I could have got my timer out, you know, my egg timer, and started timing how much time does he have in the pocket, because he had great protection. I mean, literally seconds and seconds and seconds of time in the pocket. So you got to give a lot of credit to the offensive line for the ability to do that.
And yeah, I mean, Mahomes ran around, though, a little bit, Paul. He was doing some jump passes.
That's part of it.
As great as Andy Reid was last night, and again, I think individual game, it was as good as I've ever seen from any coach, play call or whatever. Mahomes looked like the old Mahomes. He also looked, he short threw a couple of passes, but he also looked better than he has this year too, don't you think?
Right, I do. And by the way, you say Mahomes move around in the pocket. That's kind of what he does. I mean, his ability, I mean, he is as comfortable moving in the pocket. In fact, he might be more comfortable moving a little bit this way, that way, and finding that spot and finding that open receiver as if he was just your typical, you know, quarterback, who's your Johnny Unitas type, if I could bring up a name from the past, a guy who's going to sit in the pocket no matter what. Not going to move to the right, not move to the left. That's Johnny Unitas. That's not the way that Patrick Mahomes is. He's comfortable in what he does. I was just impressed with everything that he did last night, particularly with regards to buying time and that kind of thing. And I guess I could say he created. I mean, duh, come on. I mean, show me a game that he doesn't create something in the course of a game, and he is a great creator. Boy, I'll tell you what, it was fun to watch. And I was torn because I didn't see everything in the Chiefs, and I didn't see everything in the Royals, you know, flipping back and forth kind of.
No, I had my two screens set up, Paul.
That is
fantastic. We'll get into all of it. We got to break because we're going to get Mike Gillespie in bottom of the hour. So we're going to get another segment in here before that. Breaking news, Paul.
Yes.
Now, you're hard knocks. You're going to love this drama.
Love
now,
hard knocks.
Chew on this because it's probably going to be the second hour before we can get to this.
Okay.
The New York Jets have fired Robert Saleh.
Not surprised.
And we'll get into it. Just chew on that because this just happened. This just came down. It's probably going to get kicked to the second hour for us, but that is out there. That just happened. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. It is a great time to golf if you can get out there. The weather is perfect. You can get out for the crisp mornings or the nice warm afternoons. They've got 36 holes to choose from.
Let's go.
They've also got a great restaurant. They've also got a great bar. We want to send you over there and check out the facilities. Give them a call. Tell them we sent you from Sports Daily. We appreciate their support. If you're looking for a place to hang, our family loves it. It is a great place. So give them a call. Yep. We're going to come back. We'll continue this party on a Tuesday from a big Monday night. Mike Gillespie, Kings of Kauffman, will join us to talk Royals bottom of the hour. Dan Israel, Chiefs insider, joining us at 10 o'clock. A lot to get in here. Your calls, your comments, always welcome. 869-1240 on the IHOP hotline. You can leave your comments on our video streams. We'll be right back.
.975 and 1240 KFH.
Let's set it up. Our text to win contest. You can enter by texting the keyword T right now to win some HTO. TTEA to the short code 20357. What that'll get you is an opportunity to win a free iced tea. More than 20 flavors to choose from, including the all new peach cobbler. Also a free iced or hot coffee featuring the all new fall flavors of our coffee selections. Butter pecan mocha or dirty chai apple crisp. You can get one of each right now. Again, text the keyword TTEA to the short code 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. We welcome everyone back into Sports Daily. Leave us your video comments on YouTube, on X, on Facebook. Watching us on 12 News Connected. You can also, of course, call the IHOP hotline at 869-1240. And you can watch us on 12 News Connected Plus. We like that. You can leave us voice messages on the Odyssey app, Paul, which has been a fun way for people to get in touch with the program. If you're listening to us on the Odyssey app, you just push that little microphone and it pops right in there. You can leave your voice message, send it through, and move on with your day. Austin says on YouTube, that was one of the best performances by Juju I've seen. Really happy for the guy, honestly. I think everybody's happy for Juju. Look, Juju is a lighter. Juju is like Rashee Rice light, right? Juju was Rashee Rice's role 2 years ago when that Chiefs offense was humming. And he's gone. Got his big contract, he's back, but we all just sort of assume he's older and kind of lost a step. Boy, he looked good last night, Paul, and a lot of that, he was running wide, free, and open, but he's been a really good blocker for this team this year. Now he's kind of showing, again, I just go back to and we'll talk to Dan Israel at the top of the hour, but if the Chiefs can run dudes that wide open, I mean, good luck, Paul, because they did. It's almost like they had two different game plans in that game. Tight ends in the first half, wide receivers in the second half, and the Saints never could readjust to it. But, Paul, with all that being said, don't you think this comes down to Kareem Hunt and that run game's ability to just – 32 carries by the running backs last night for the Chiefs. 32 carries. That's the ticket with the defense playing the way it is. It opens everything up, Paul, and Kareem Hunt has been this reunion this year. We've got all these old Chiefs back on the team and they're all playing big roles.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know something, you made a great point, your ability to run the football, but isn't that the point for every team in the NFL?
The way the league's changing, running the ball it's this too high safety thing. Running the ball is the ticket right now in the NFL.
Yeah, you got high safeties, you're going to run the football. If they drop down, you're going to throw the football. That's kind of the way things are nowadays.
Pretty simple, right?
But it's not complicated, is it? I mean, people think you look at the defensive backfield
so
and it
easy.
Looks so complicated, but it's not that complicated. But the point is that, yeah, they look good running the football, and when they do run the football, it changes everything. Any football team in the NFL or college or high school or JV games from last night, anybody who can run the football, the pass game gets wide open. And, of course, I think it was just in the last couple of weeks, I'm watching some show, having some fun, watching some guys visit about the NFL, and they start showing these clips on the safeties, and I can't remember which team it was, an NFL team. You know, here's the safeties. They're deep. We're going to run the football. Oh, look, the safeties are checked up. We're going to throw the football, and we're going to throw some things over the middle, and we'll throw a little deeper. And, you know, it was really kind of interesting to watch. And, of course, that's just the nature. But you got to run the football. You know, everything starts with football. You know, there was a point in the history of football in the evolution. Jacob, you know, it went years and years and years and years, and there was no such thing as a throw. Then somebody decided to throw the football. Voila! Now we have football as to what it is today. And you've got to run the football no matter who you are. I mean, you've got to be able to run the football. If you want to have a great football team, you've got to be somewhat balanced. And, of course, we all know the importance of quarterbacks. And, I mean, even at the college level, for guys' sakes, look at the importance of the quarterbacks. All the guys that are transferring here and there and all the guys that we have major upsets all over the place last weekend. And quarterbacks were the difference in almost every one of those games. But also the ability to run the football was important with the ability for Vanderbilt. Look at Vanderbilt, for instance, run the football. So Jacob, you make a great point. Everybody's got to be able to run the football, and, not everybody can, but if you can't, the odds are stacked against you of being successful, getting to the playoffs or even making a run into the playoffs. No matter how good you are, you got to be able to do that. So yeah, you've got a great point there. There's no question.
It doesn't surprise us with the Chiefs. It's what their foundation was last year to win a Super Bowl. We didn't, or I didn't, expect that same identity this year, but injuries have forced it, right? You're missing your top two receivers. But even without Isaiah Pacheco, Kareem Hunt has been that guy. I applaud the Chiefs for continuing to mix Carson Steele in. I thought it was interesting to see him used as a fullback several times as well. Mm-hmm. But that opens everything up. And again, not everybody can do this because not everybody has Mahomes and Kelce and Andy Reid. But what they're doing now is pretty wild when you think about it. I don't think the Saints are nearly as good as some people thought they were, offensively or defensively. But that's not a bad team. And the Chiefs flat dominated them last night. Mm-hmm. They had one gaffe defensively on the long touchdown to Shaheed. That's it. This defense is really, really, really good. And the offense will find a way, whatever it is. Because now you think of these injuries, Paul, and you just think of how many different ways the Chiefs can attack. If Juju's able to do that, and look, Juju was running free last night, but the Chiefs appear to have the ability to get him free like that. I think when you look at that game and you think about other teams that'll play the Chiefs, the answer, Paul, to me, I think, is pressure on Mahomes, right? That's how you counteract all of this, is to get the pressure on the quarterback.
Right. And we also know, I mean, you know, when it comes to New Orleans, we understand that this is this is not the same team that I thought it was, what, two, three games into the season?
No, they're just not that good.
They're not that good. That's a good way of putting it. They're not that good. I thought they were going to be better last night. I mean, I hate to say this. I took them in our Friday football picks. I shouldn't have done it. But I know. I'm the only one.
I haven't thought about our picks. I think I had a good week. I'll have Jad check that. Honestly, I'm not even being facetious. I think I had a good
you did.
Week.
You did very well. I've already looked, and you did very well. I sucked. I was 2-4, I believe, is what I was when you see the totals. But with that being said, you know, I misjudged how good the Saints were. I just did. I thought they were better. I was going off of what I saw earlier in the season. And they weren't that good. But anyway, with that being said, you know, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a lot of fun. Do the Chiefs continue to push to run the football? I think they do. By the way, Derrick Henry, what do you think? Does that make a difference on a football team? Does Derrick Henry make a difference on the Ravens?
It's been the counter to the too high safety thing. It's the NFL's gone back in time about 10, 15 years, and it shouldn't. This is what the NFL does all the time.
It does.
They do that. In 5 years, it'll be a spread it out, throw it deep league again.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
This is what the league. It's just the Chiefs have been ahead of it for the last 2 years. They've been out ahead of it. All right, we'll come back. We're going to shift to some Royals talk the rest of the way in this hour. So Royals fans, get ready. Mike Gillespie, Kings of Kauffman, joins us as the Royals even up the series here to come back home. That's where we head next. Appreciate Prairie Fire Coffee for always keeping us fueled up here at the KFH Studios with some delicious coffee. Need that caffeine? Don't need it today. Everybody's wide awake and lively this morning because of the night we had last night. We're coming back. More Sports Daily. Mike Gillespie joins us next.
...97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Hey, the Royals are in the Major League Baseball playoffs, and they're available for free right here on KFH and the Odyssey app. Tune in for coverage as the Royals come back home to Kansas City. That'll be tomorrow. You can always listen as well on the Odyssey app. Search for KFH at game time. Man, oh man, the Royals even the series in New York. We bring in Mike Gillespie, Kings of Kauffman, our Royals insider. Mike, yesterday, I kind of started yesterday and just said, it doesn't feel to me like the Royals are in any sort of desperation. Felt like they probably should have won the first game. The way they're playing lends itself to success in this series. And even in a game where Cole Reagans didn't have his best stuff, it was enough. They felt like they were in control of that game. I don't know what this bullpen revelation is, but to me, it just screams that the Royals are going to be a really, really difficult team to beat in the postseason.
Oh, I agree, especially now. I keep trying to figure out what's gotten into that bullpen. And, you know, the obvious is they're much better. I'd kind of like to know what happened to make that change, but I'm happy if they keep doing what they're doing.
It's been wild. I mean, you've seen it now in a few games. Let's look at this series as a whole, because the other part of this that makes me pretty confident is we look, and Salvi had his home run last night. Hopefully that awakens him a little bit. But your RBI last night scored another four runs. Garcia, Pham, Hampson, the offense has been productive without its most productive players being very productive. And that's another thing. Like, at some point, if they get, you know, Vinny and Bobby and Salvi to wake up at the same time, again, this is what it all sort of built to, right? Like, we liked the Royals as a playoff team, and this is a reason why. The good news is the bullpen's better than we thought, and the rest of the lineup's been better than we thought.
Yeah, this is a decent lineup right now, especially because, you know, you mentioned Hampson, an unlikely candidate to step up and into the breach when guys like Witt and Pasquantino, you know, really aren't doing anything. They're a combined 0 for 19 in the first two games. And what happens? Hampson gets a really key RBI that gives him a two-run lead yesterday. Michael Garcia has four hits. Perez leads off an inning with a homer. You're exactly right. These are things that really good teams do.
You know, one of the things that we were talking about earlier in this conversation that Jake and I were having before you were on with us is the game one situation with the botched call on the steal to second base. I believe it was in the seventh inning. I think that was right. I think it was the seventh inning. And how I thought that replays showed convincingly that the call was blown, that there should have been an out. That single that happened a batter later and scored the steal, it shouldn't have ever happened. And the Royals would win that game. Royals should be up 2-0. your thoughts on that. And I was certainly glad to see the fact that that did not affect the Royals. They played. Their head was in the game. Everything looked really good. And your comments, though, on that call and what it could have, what it should have, or maybe what no reaction to, a blown call like that.
Well, you know, the first couple of angles, it looks close. And then the next couple of angles, it was just really clear that he was safe. I mean, there was no question about it. I think it had something to do with changing the outcome of the game. But when it gets right down to it, you know, I look at it and I say, yeah, but the Royals also walked eight batters. They had some chances that they didn't capitalize on. But coming away from it, you know, they shook it off. And proof of that is in last night. And again, I harp about what good, maybe not great, but what good teams do is they bounce back from that kind of thing. They brush it off and move on. And that's what the Royals did.
That doesn't really surprise me. Does it surprise you? I mean, that's kind of been their thing. We've seen this team survive some long losing streaks late in a year. And I think it's probably the Bobby Witt Jr. effect and to some degree Salvador Perez. But I think it's pretty clear to see the DNA of this team. And again, it's why going into game two didn't feel like there was a sense of urgency. All the pressure in the world right now is on the Yankees. Aaron Judge is struggling. You got to go back to their place. It's a series now. Garrett Cole can't win you two more games. Like, to me, all the pressure is on the Yankees, and that's advantage Royals if they're feeling that way.
Yeah, very much so. You know, the Yankees have this odd pressure of playing in the Bronx, and everybody expects them to win a world championship every year. The fans want Aaron Boone fired every season before the season even begins. And they don't have, you know, the best recent playoff record. So now, they come into Kansas City tied, and they're going to be in front of a crowd, a really hungry crowd, and a really hungry team that is the most resilient Royals team I've seen since 2014. We'll see, I think, tomorrow night. Just what effect this may be having on the Yankees. You know, if the Royals come out and get a lead and step on the proverbial throat early, this thing could be over.
You know what I wish? If you could grant a wish, here would be my wish when it comes to Major League Baseball. I wish that this was for the American League Conference Championship with the New York Yankees, and there were seven games instead of five.
American League pennant in baseball, Paul. It's
pennant. Well, the pennant. Okay. You know what I mean. I want this to be a seven-game series. I'm not going to be happy with a five-game series. I want a seven-game series. Am I wrong on that?
No. I think once you get past the wild card, they really ought to all be seven. Sure, that stretches things out, and you get into the uncertainty of late October, early November weather. But, three out of five, after the first game, it's pretty tough to come back if you lose. And in an ideal world, you know, it would be the Yankees-Royals. I think the Yankees-Royals is more interesting than if it's, the Royals take this series and then play Detroit or Cleveland, even though they're both good clubs. There's just an aura about Royals-Yankees that, you know, a lot of fans haven't experienced that. But I'm certainly old enough to remember the good old days of the 70s. And early 80s. So, yeah, I'd love to see something like that rekindled.
But it's not going to be this year. So now we look ahead to a five game. It's become a best of three series now. Reagans and Garrett Cole were not the aces that, the teams, their respective teams probably thought they'd be. Each of the teams did win their games that they started. We know it'll be Lugo in the first one against Clark Schmidt, who's been good. We don't know games 4 and 5. How do you think Quatrero plays this out? We saw Lorenzen used in game one. Who is it starting after Lugo the rest of the way, do you think, Mike?
Well, I think they're gonna try as best they can to follow the normal rotation. I'm absolutely certain we're not going to see Brady Singer. You know, he's out in the bullpen, and I'm not convinced we're going to see Brady Singer in this series at all.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got to stick with what's working. And right now, you know, you'll see Waka, I think, on Thursday. You know, these days off kind of work out really beneficial for the Royals. Yes. The timing is really good. So I don't see any surprises. Now, if it gets pushed to a game five, who knows? You know, that's all hands on deck, and everybody's going to pitch that Cotrero needs to pitch.
So probably stay the same for both teams, too, because it works for both teams. So it goes Cole, Rodon, most likely. So you see rematches there.
Yeah,
and I ask that because knowing that, I feel like the Yankees have the pressure. But if you know Gerrit Cole is likely coming on Thursday, should there be any pressure on the Royals to win the Lugo start?
Yeah, I think the pressure comes no matter who the Yankees are going to will start in. You know, games four and five, if they get there, it's just, you know, this is the time of the season where I don't think the pressure is even more is more or greater from game to game until you get to the elimination games.
You know, I've just got to ask you about the Dodgers and the Padres. I don't know that it's been a while since I've seen two teams that hate each other as much as these two teams do. There's a lot of hate here. How much do you love hate in baseball?
You know, that's a good question. I absolutely loved it. you know, in the old Yankees Royals days, I mean, that's just, you know, that used to excite us all. You don't see it much anymore.
That's right.
But I'll tell you something that kind of struck me about the Padres and Dodgers the other night. Maybe we didn't see it. I don't know. You know, they were focusing on Profar and Tatis and you know, what those guys were doing. But normally in those situations, you might see the opposing team, in this case, the Dodgers manager, pop out of the dugout and you know, kind of say, hey, fans, you know, cool it. I never saw Roberts come out of the dugout.
That's right.
I think Roberts was fine. He didn't like the stuff being thrown on the field, but I think he liked or appreciated the fact that maybe this is going to fire the Dodgers up. And, you know, you look at what Manny Machado did in the dugout.
That's right.
When was the last time you saw
that's right
a player call a dugout meeting? I mean, when he did that, I thought, oh man, this is going to get bad for the Dodgers.
It's incredible. What a great rivalry. Yeah. I love it. All these series have been really compelling as they all get, I believe, 1-1 now and shortened down. I want to go back to game two for a minute. Mike Gillespie joining us, Kings of Kauffman. You can follow him on X at Mike Gillespie JD. Bubic went two innings last night, which makes sense to me. I thought it would be the plan. He, with a day of rest, should be able to come right back, correct? Do you think he's fine to go here on Wednesday, even though he pitched two innings yesterday?
Definitely. You know, he has shown an ability to come back. You know, they went through that series of games late in the season where Cotrero was pitching people back to back, three or four of them. And I kind of thought that what he was doing was gauging how ready they were to do that come the playoffs. But yeah, I'm more than comfortable with seeing Bubic Wednesday night.
And maybe they need him, right? Because quick trigger seems to be the theme. If Lugo is in any danger Wednesday, I think we see another quick trigger. That's, and I don't blame, you know, there was a time not that long ago where we would have said, Cotrero, you're insane if you hand this over to the bullpen this early in the game. But I fully support it and endorse it now, the way they've been going. If Lugo looks like he doesn't have his best stuff, it may be just like last night or even quicker than last night with Reagans.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. Maybe not terribly quickly Wednesday night, but definitely after that. And I don't really think anybody's going to have a real long leash Wednesday night. It's too much at stake.
Man, it's been awesome. What a series. What a postseason. What a season. and it feels good for the Royals. Bobby Witt Jr. is going to wake up at some point in this series. Let's just hope he does it before Aaron Judge wakes up. Because you've got these two, you know, the two front runners at MVP who have been non-factors to a large degree in this series, which is wild to think about. But that's postseason baseball. Mike, what do you guys have going at Kings of Coffin for everybody on this day off of the series?
Pretty much the usual that we do, keep everybody posted, write what we think that they want to read. And, you know, we've picked it up a little bit here in the playoffs. You know, we're right now, if you come to Kings of Coffin, we hope you do, you're going to see a lot of stories about the postseason. We're kicking it.
It's going to be great. You can follow Mike's work there on social media. Check out Kings of Coffman. We'll be back next week, and hopefully it's right as we're getting into an American League Championship Series. Got to take care of those pesky Yankees first. High drama for the Royals. We love it, Mike. Appreciate the visit.
Yep. Thank you, guys.
That's our Royals insider, Mike Lespe. Paul and I have a few more minutes here with you. So, Paul, we give people a second to react to that. We'll have more on the Royals certainly tomorrow and the rest of the show today as we take a break. And we've got Dan Israel coming up, top of the hour. We've got just a handful of minutes here, so let's cram this in because it's sort of the news of the morning. The Jets fire Robert Saleh. And there was a point this offseason where I said, that's it, I'm out on the Jets. It's just not going to work. I don't think I'm surprised Saleh has been fired. It clearly was a disconnect with Aaron Rodgers. Now, let me say it this way. It doesn't surprise me that Saleh is fired. I would place the blame more on Rodgers than Saleh, but you can fire Aaron Rodgers, right? If it's not working, you have to do something to fix it. And clearly it's not working. I hate mid-season firings, but the Jets probably made the right call here, don't you think?
I don't know, and here's why I don't know, is that last year, as I watched, you know, Hard Knocks, it was obvious that everything was being built around Aaron Rodgers. That whole team geared around Aaron Rodgers as quarterback, Aaron Rodgers as team leader, Aaron Rodgers as emotional leader, you name it, he was going to be the inspiration and the team leader of that football team. You lose him four plays into the first game, he's gone. Things all of a sudden change. That's a tough thing to overcome. Now you got to find not only a quarterback, but you got to find the inspiration, the leader, the team leader, the guy that's going to bring this team together. Hard to do, very hard to do, and it wasn't done, not to the satisfaction of the ownership and, obviously, you know, Jet Nation. It was not done. So with that being said, I'm a little more sympathetic with this particular head coach, because there's something between him and Rodgers. And I'm not sure I'm quick to blame the head coach in this situation.
It's not that I'm blaming the head coach.
Okay.
That's not what I'm doing.
Okay.
But you can't fire Aaron Rodgers.
Can't fire Aaron Rodgers.
So if it's not working, mm-hmm. and you've put literally everything on the line for this season, what else are you going to do?
Well, I guess that's a drastic step. It's a drastic step. But it's obvious, and all the little things that have been captured on video have showed, you know, Aaron Rodgers doesn't seem to want to be a part of his world, of coach's world. He's not sure that this is his guy. I mean, remember a couple weeks ago when Saleh tried to hug him and he backed off and said, no, we're not doing that. And I thought to myself, you know something, that wasn't a miscommunication or something like that. That was disdain between the two. And I think it's obvious now that this has happened, that yes, there is a disdain between the two. Can't have that. Jacob, you can't have that. Can't have that on a professional football team.
No, well, look, Aaron Rodgers is done. He's done after this year. Nobody's going to welcome that in now, but this year still exists,
right.
And they have enough talent with him there to maybe get it figured out. Mm-hmm. So I mean, the Jets have put all their chips in the middle of the table. they won't have a better option than Rodgers. It's almost like you watch them and the Browns, two expected contenders. The Browns not really willing to do anything. They need to be benching
Deshaun Watson. That's even a worse disaster.
But the Jets, like, they've got all their chips on the table just like that. And they're like, we're not getting better than Aaron Rodgers, so what are we going to do? Like, what can we do?
Yeah, what do you do with Watson? Doesn't he have like 90 – Is it 90, 100 million guaranteed?
Leave it, light that money on fire.
Light
it
on fire.
You got to still give your team a chance to win. And I applaud the Jets, even if it's the wrong move, I applaud them for making a move to try and fix it. All right. If you want to chime in on that, best way to do it probably is to leave us a voice message through the Odyssey app, because it's going to be a while before, if we get back to it. When we return, we'll be talking some Chiefs. Dan Israel, our Chiefs insider, joins the program. It's a party on a Tuesday. Speaking of parties, Wichita Thunder hockey opening night is October 18th. The Thunder will take on the Kansas City Mavericks at 7:05. You can get an opening night four-pack, four tickets, and $10 merch voucher. Starts at just $80. You can visit WichitaThunder.com to check that out. More Chiefs talk. Our Chiefs insider, Dan Israel, joining us. It's Albrock and Savage at Sports Daily on a Tuesday.
In Odyssey Sports Station, this is 97.5 and 1240 KFH, KNSS HD2 Clearwater, Wichita's most listened to sports radio.